did at my throat. The pain just went away instantly. And then
you were using blue.
Yes.
Well, blue has always been known to be beneficial to the throat chakra, which is the area between the hollow of the throat and the top or the end of your nose. And anything having to do with those areas would be benefited by the color blue. So I'm not surprised at all. I didn't say the wands didn't work. As a matter of fact, I said they do.
Mm-hmm.
But his information and his techniques are accurate. I just said that I personally found it a little bit upsetting, the approach that much of the book took, that of combat, which is this is quite a tradition among some groups. It just happens to be not what I particularly care to be into.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that was asked is, what did I think about the book? I had to be honest. And my honest opinion was, I think it's an accurate book in most respects, and in some respects it frightened me.
Okay, James, that help you?
Well, yeah. The main area that I was concerned with the power rods was the similar to the Star Wars movie, the idea of a lightsaber that the Jedi Knight had.
Okay.
And that this is not only a tool of combat, but it could be used as a tool to build the pyramid, so to speak, as a great cutting tool.
Yes, it could be used for good. We do have ways of doing that. And at the same time, that's really not what we're talking about. What we're talking about was that particular way that these were presented had a tendency to attract to it people who would like to use it that way.
Yes, I understand.
And so that's the only thing that bothered me. Thank you for calling.
On the pyramid, the capstone, do you feel that the capstone of the Great Pyramid was a quartz?
I have no way of knowing. Our statements made internally when we did our channeling was that, yes, that's true, and we have absolutely no way of knowing that.
So it's all supposition.
All supposition.
Well, do you feel that the outer casing stones, which were, I have heard that they were marble. Do you know?
No, they weren't. They were chalcedony, which is a member of the quartz family, used as a resonator, so that they could be used as a communicating device.
So then it was microcrystalline quartz.
Yes.
I see. Was there any metal found on the outside of that?
I know nothing about that.
Oh, okay. Well, I do thank you a great deal.
Okay, James. Thank you for getting in there.
Okay.
I'm Bill Jenkins with Dale Walker and Ho. We're talking about crystals. Dale Walker, who probably is one of the nation's leading experts on its many, many crystalline values. And Ho is here, who's with us all the time. Idaho Enterprises out in North Hollywood. By the way, if you want to find out where Dale is going to be, give them a call. I think they're standing by at 818, the area code 7610945. Dale has quite an itinerary here in Los Angeles this month.
People should really know, too, that we only have a single line down there, although it has a call waiting, in fact, on it. So if for some reason, because we're going to get hundreds of calls, you don't get in immediately, please call back again. There's going to be somebody there all night long for practical purposes who will answer your questions.
Or even better, come tomorrow at the Live and Learn Center, and we can show you everything that's going on and give you all the information.
Yeah, that's it. That's 13735 Ventura Boulevard, down around Woodman and Ventura.
That's right.
10 o'clock in the morning on. Dale is there. And bukus of crystals.
Oh, boy, do we have crystals.
All kinds of crystals. Okay, Eric. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to you. I think I should mention that this is sort of full circle for me to be calling tonight because, several months ago, I heard Serge King from the Hoonah Institute.
Yes, uh-huh.
on your program, and he was there as a replacement for someone who was to come and talk about crystals and wasn't able to come. And I am now just finishing up the advanced shamanism class with Serge, and it's just been wonderful.
All right. Yeah, Serge is quite a fellow.
Yes. So I'm very grateful to your program for turning me on to something that really has been quite a marvelous experience.
Great.
Lovely man.
Yes, isn't he, though? I wanted to ask, what is Heidi Ho?
We've all wondered about that, right?
Oh, my.
Well, Heidi Ho Enterprises was set up by myself and by Dee Dee Holman, who is the lady that's answering the phones right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we were set up to teach classes in metaphysics and parapsychology. We taught classes in UFOs
mm-hmm.
and in crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically enough, I was teaching all those other classes except for crystals when I met Dale.
Uh-huh.
And I'd always been interested. I'd very often gone into places, picked up the stones and looked at them. But I couldn't find information on what to do with them. That was really the hard part. And I'd pick up different books, and one book would say that this stone was good for healing, and the next stone was good for spirituality, but they wouldn't tell you what to do with them. Then I ran into Dale, and I took his workshop, and I have to mention this for those who have got the book, that the workshops that Dale teaches, it's not the material in the books. The book is something quite different. The material he teaches is above and beyond what's in the book. And I had an opportunity to take the workshop with him. The next day, Dee Dee was in a car accident. And we took her to
the hospital. A very serious
car. We took her to the hospital. They wanted to put her in traction for 6 weeks. We took her to a chiropractor who did various exams and took x-rays. And that night, she was in bed. And I looked at her and I said, you know, we just did this workshop yesterday. We have these techniques and they are very simple. So we tried them. And sure enough, I can't say she was 100% better the next day, but she was 100% improved from where she had been. The chiropractor had done the exam so he could show that. And Dee Dee never missed a day from work, although I know she would have loved to. She was never out of work for a single day. So that, to me, was a very powerful indication of how good these techniques are.
And what was more interesting is the chiropractor came to the workshop.
That's right. He took the workshop with us.
Well, now, Mr. Walker, do you have a book or books out on the subject then?
Yes, there's a book out called The Crystal Book, which is an excellent beginning book on crystals. And actually, I was chastised because it said some of the techniques in there are too advanced. And I thought, gee, I made it as simple as you can make it.
You know, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
I didn't understand a thing.
That must be too... Wait, watch that. No, it's a very good book. It's called The Crystal Book. It's available in most metaphysical bookstores. And we definitely will have copies at the Live and Learn Center. And...
We have them over at Alexandra, too.
Yes. Yes, Alexandra Bookstore has it. And at the same time, I have a meditation tape out, which is brand new, meditation techniques from the Crystal Book. It's called the Crystal Book Meditations.
I got a copy of it.
Yes, that's you have El Primero, first one.
Yeah.
Also, I am in the middle right now of my second book, which will be much more expansive and going into the further research levels of what we've been doing. And that will be out probably by June. In fact, it definitely will be out and ready for the American Book Association convention in June. So that's my deadline. I have to meet that. And there, I have material enough right now to write probably 5 or 6 more books. I have material enough which I will present out both in teaching tapes and meditation tapes, for we expect to have about 50 voice tapes. I also have 7 days of advanced crystal techniques on video, which we are editing, and hopefully we'll have that available, because this information has to get out now, and I'm busting my tail to get it. So, yes, the answer is there is more coming out. I do have a book and a meditation tape out right now, which is available, and more is coming.
And
I can't stop this thing now.
And before we go off the air, Eric, Dale has promised that he will speak toward the tail end of the show. About the crystal skull, which he has been studying.
Okay. Now, I have one other question that I would like to ask from a personal standpoint, and that is, I am very much interested at this point in making mandalas. Oops. Were you there?
Eric, let me do this. That's too intricate a question. I know what you're going to ask. At least I can pick up already. Come to the Live and Learn Center. Talk to me there, and I'll give you some things on mandalas that will... shake your roots.
You may not want to, Eric.
Okay.
Well, why wouldn't I?
If you really want to know some things, and I can also tell you some of the powerful things we're doing, we're using crystal mandalas, by the way, to totally clear swimming pools and create an energy sink, a bath energy pool that should be tremendously healing based on what we've done already. And as a matter of fact, for those of you who saw the movie Cocoon, this is the kind of thing we're talking about. I believe, quite frankly, we can do what that movie portrayed to some of the degree. And definitely we can clear swimming pools forever, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, probably. I love those words. But at any rate, if you want to talk about Mondalis, come down to the living room center. I will talk to you.
And Eric, make a point of introducing yourself to us, because I'd like to talk to you also. Okay. We know Serge very well. And
oh, yes. Okay.
Heidi Ho has presented him on a number of occasions. He's a marvelous man.
Serge's radio program.
That's right. You're... I don't have the calendar in front of me, but you are going to be on Serge's radio show.
Oh, yes. And what city was that again? Ventura Boulevard.
It's in Ventura in Sherman Oaks.
In Sherman Oaks.
Yes.
That's right.
I think the cross street.
13735.
Closest cross street is probably Woodman.
Okay. And that's going to be tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday.
Yes, 3 days. From 10 till 10 both days.
10 to 10?
All 3 days. Yeah.
10 to 10.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Let me say one more thing. Real quick. Thank you very much. You can drop off on this one, but I want to say to the rest of the audience, actually, tomorrow we're beginning at 11 o'clock, and now 10 o'clock, and yet each of the other days will be there at 10. So if you want to come tomorrow and meet me, be with the group, come at 11 o'clock, because we need a little bit of time, tell you the truth, to get all this stuff set up. I'm so honest, it's, you know.
And as long as we're going to be that
honest. There's no great mystical thing about it. It's just we need some time, so
plus
come at 11, don't come at 10.
Plus fact, I'm keeping you up late tonight.
Bob, you
don't tell Dee Dee that, because we're supposed to be setting those crystals up in the morning. Yes, if you call the house and get the number, which was 818-761-0945, and there's no answer, there is a machine. Leave a name and a number, please, because we're going to be very busy, but we will get back to everyone.
We absolutely guarantee we will contact everybody who leaves a message.
All right. There you've got that message, and we're going to get a message now from Jerry.
Concerning the strength of the crystals, I was at a gym store the other day, and they had some of the, you know, perfectly crystal clear quartz crystals that were cut in the shape of the Great Pyramid. And I was wondering if the shape... was important to the effectiveness of it, or if I was just as well off to go out and have one, pick it up off the ground in its natural shape, or if I should take it out and have it cut, you know, in that particular shape, and also if the clarity or the size had any difference on the effectiveness of it.
Changing the shape of the crystal does not affect the amount of energy that's in the crystal, with the exception of the pyramid shape. The pyramid shape has its own amplifying ability. The cutting in a pyramid does create an increase in the energy field a little bit more than the natural crystal does. Not a dramatically large amount, but definitely is an increase. Clarity does not really matter. Now, I'm going to get some flack from those who really think a clear crystal is the greatest thing in the world. But my experience is clarity matters only if you're really going to work in telepathy. But I like a crystal with things in it, because those things in it, inclusions, veils, and windows and doorways, are doorways for information, for me, knowledge. And the cloudiness in a crystal is water.
Mm.
And that, by the way, if you have a cloudy crystal and you begin to use it using the healing techniques which we teach, the one thing that happens with everybody is the cloudiness starts to clear up. We've cleared big crystals. I've got one, it's a 10 inches or better, that was cloudy all the way up almost to the tip. Now that thing is clear all the way down to the bottom.
So you think having impurities to some extent would actually increase the power of it?
The most important rule is not whether it's clear or cloudy, but that you have an affinity for it.
I see.
If you like the crystal, that means its vibration is most attuned to you, and then it will be most powerful for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the same crystal would not be as effective for somebody else.
I see. I had one other quick question. I'd heard some talk around different people that were into this, that after a while, the crystals, especially if they're really good, will absorb so much negative energy in doing things that they will actually be a detriment to the person that has it, and they some way have to purge that out, and or the crystal will actually just kind of wear out, that needs to be redone or re-energized. And I was curious how you went about that, and if that was true, that they actually get negative energy in them.
The answer to that is, my experience is, it is true, and earlier in the program we gave the method on how you can totally clear that negative emotional energy out of it.
Mm-hmm, I heard that.
And that's called the light invocation. If you do that 3 times while touching the crystal, it totally clears it out, and we have experimented showing that this is true.
How do you know how often to do that?
I do it every day.
Oh, okay.
You know, if I do any kind of energy balancing technique on somebody, I'm involved and my crystals are involved.
Mm-hmm.
My crystals will absorb the release of any imbalanced emotional energy field or negative emotions from the person when they go into balance. They go into balance, their negative emotions have to get rid of.
I see.
And so it can go through my crystal. I simply hold it, do a triple light invocation, which only takes, I got it down so pat now, it takes me maybe 5 seconds, and it's gone.
You do have physical contact with it then when you're saying that.
Oh, yes.
I see. That's important. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Great show, Bill.
All right, Jerry, thank you very much for checking in with us. Some people are calling wanting to know if there's a place where they can get crystals by mail. I don't even know how to answer that, really.
Well, the crystal company, definitely, we have a mail order service.
Do you?
That they can write to us, and we will send them information on crystals. We definitely can order them. If they want that one, we'll give them another. There, you got your pad out there and your pen. We'll give you something.
Yeah, give the address.
The Crystal Company, that's simple, Post Office Box 348, Sunol, I have to spell this because it's a tiny little community in Northern California. Sun, S-U-N-O-L, Sunol, California, 94586. The Crystal Company, P.O. Box 348, Sunol, California, 94586. And we will send you information about mail order. But in the meantime, if you can get over to the Living Learning Center, why bother?
Yeah, get over there and get them yourself.
Get them live, and you can pick them out personally. You don't have to wait for us to pick it for you.
Also, we can do that through Heidi Ho. If they
yes.
want to call us and get the information, we'll tell them how to go about getting it through the mail.
Absolutely.
All right.
But give us a little time, folks. It takes more than 2 or 3 days. We have people that will call and say, well, you send it through the mail, and 2 days later say, where's my crystal?
Where's
I need
crystal?
It now.
Also, thank you for calling.
Also, a lot of folks are calling to say they want to hear about the skull. We will talk about the skull in about 15 minutes, something
yeah.
like that. So hang in there if you want to hear about the crystal skull. It's Open Mind tonight with me, Dale Walker, and Ho. We're on to crystals. Does our good friend the crystal have any effect on gasoline?
Well, I want to tell you, I've experimented with this for a long time.
I thought you might.
And just recently, I bought a 69 Cadillac because I'm rebuilding it back into perfect condition again. I think it's a classic, and I really want to do this. And yet, Cadillacs are not what you call the most
economical car.
Economical, that's the word. That's what I was looking for. They burn gas. And I did a little experiment coming down from San Francisco area down to here, in which I tested, first of all, prior to that time, driving freeway, driving streets, driving, you know, normal driving thing. And I was getting a little over 12.1 miles per gallon.
That's
not
much.
Very good, no. And when I, driving on a straight way, coming here, after I put crystals on the line, in an even more effective method than what's in the book. In the book, I suggest you put one crystal on the fuel line going into the carburetor. In this particular case, we took three crystals and put them in a triangular array around the fuel line up next to the carburetor. We find that the closer we get to the carburetor, the more effective it is. And my mileage on the straightaway jumped to 16.7. And when I hit the grapevine, it dropped back down until the overall mileage coming right into L.A. was 14 point something. It was a jump of about 17-18%. Just for the fact that we put crystals on it. And it was a jump of far greater than that before we hit that long, long pull that it takes up so doggone much gas.
Oh, yeah, that'll soak up gas every time.
But it's really amazing. And what we did, this time, like I said, I came prepared. I've set up a thing in which I've got an instruction, a little instruction sheet, and crystal set up specifically for the gasoline for your car. If anybody's interested, we've even got sets of those suckers this time. And people can try it out themselves. Everybody who's tried it has noted that there's an increase of anywhere from 10, and Ho was telling us that, what was it you said somebody...
Well, I had one man who actually got 50%, and he documented it. He showed me all the numbers and everything, but I think average is about 25-30.
About 25-30%.
See, with the crystals,
especially with this new thing.
Eat your heart out, Exxon.
Don't challenge him.
Called back to say that she tasted the water.
And?
There was a difference.
How about that?
So, all you water tasters out there would like to hear from me while we have, about 20, 25 minutes or so. Okay, let's see. Anne, what's on your mind tonight?
Yes. Dale, I have your book.
God,
and I want to state that I have had success with crystals regarding healing distance healing, that is.
Yes.
I simply hold the crystal in my left hand and use visualization. I guess you'd call it thought process.
Yes.
Thought power.
Visualization.
And I use that on the person and the area to be healed, and it works every time, even though that person is not aware that I'm doing it. Now, that's a statement, but what I'd like to ask is sometimes the healing is not effective, and I've noticed that when the crystal gets warm, when it feels warm, the healing becomes effective at that time. But sometimes, which is very rare, the crystal does not get warm. It remains cold.
Yes.
And the healing does not take place.
Well, and if you simply hold that stone and do a triple light invocation and then do it again, you'll find that whatever it was blocking that and reversing the polarity of the stone so that it goes in the opposite direction, and now be refocused.
Is that right?
That's correct. What happens when a stone turns hot is because energy is moving through the stone and it causes frictional process that creates heat. When it reverses polarity, that, in other words, its flow goes in the opposite direction, then the crystal becomes cold. And there's definitely, there are processes in our healing workshop in which we show a particular cyclic process that takes place. And in the middle of that cycle, the crystal changes, one of the crystals turns cold. Everybody's noticed this phenomenon. And that's it's precisely because the crystal at that moment reverses its polarity and the energy moves in the other direction. But if you hold it and do a triple light invocation, you can refocus and go back into healing with it.
I will try that. There is another question I'd like
yes.
to ask. In your book, you mentioned charging and activating and clearing. I
yes.
don't do any of those things. But what I've done is after each healing, I wash the crystal with soap and water.
Uh-huh.
And each time I use the healing, I do that before I do the healing. But is it necessary to do the charging and the activating and the clearing in order to be successful in the healing process?
When you do the healing, that's a charging process. Except when you do healing, you're charging. When you release, as you create the healing process moving, you release negative emotions from the body. And that's bad. That causes a weakening effect. And which is not good for the crystal to sustain, nor is it good for anybody who touches a crystal. However, if you'll do a clearing process, let's define some things. First of all, cleansing is using a substance, and we use salt.
Yes, I do that occasionally.
What that does is that reduces the amount of energy in the stone below the point where it can actually physically cause a problem to you. Clearing is leaving the energy in but changing it so that any imbalanced emotional energy or negative emotional energy becomes balanced or harmonized. And that we have found, we have many ways to do it, but the most effective way we have found is to use the triple light invocation. That is truly the most all-round, powering, and clearing, cleansing, light-building technique we have found in any case.
We don't know why, but it works.
If I do the triple light invocation, then I won't have to do any of the other things. Is that what you're saying?
My experience is that's all I use anymore. I don't put anything in salt anymore.
Uh-huh.
Now the triple light invocation, we have done Boku tests. We have done massive tests to show that once you have a negative thought form in a stone, the triple light invocation totally clears that thought form out of it. So it becomes positive and is beneficial to your body, mind, and emotions.
Well, how does that negative thought form get into the crystal when I'm actually visualizing positive things?
Whenever you do the healing process, negative emotions are released. When you're touching or in the auric field of the individual, so is your crystal. That energy then moves directly through your crystal.
Oh.
And the crystals are so absorbent and sensitive to energy, they can store those negative emotions in it.
Uh-huh.
But it's so easy to do the invocation and clear.
Oh, I certainly will do that. Then, is it necessary to wash it like I've done other times after the healing and before the healing?
I always do it because the body leaves oils.
Uh-huh.
And the oils will stay on the surface of it. The oils themselves become charged with negative emotions, just like the crystal does.
Sure.
And you notice when you do energy balancing or healing on someone, how your crystal becomes sticky or tacky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I find that it works better for me when I wash it off. Just a simple wash in plain water with a little soap. But even without soap, just rinsing it off seems to make a real change in it.
Oh, so I'm going to do the triple light invocation, and then that should be sufficient. Then.
Very good. Thank you for calling. Thank you so very much.
Okay, Ann. Thank you for being in there with us. And Lois, you're on.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a cold, so I hope my voice is coming across.
Get a crystal up next to your nose.
Mike, very good.
Don't stick it up your nose. Bill, I heard you say that.
I didn't.
Underneath your breath. Don't listen to him.
Well, I have a half of a geode. I wonder if the geode is the crystal.
The geode itself is not, but the crystal's inside.
The geode is a
hollow, like a little bowl.
Right.
And the inside of it has crystals.
Right.
Yes, that's beneficial.
I have one of those as a decor, you know.
Yes.
If it's sitting in the room like that, is it collecting negative things?
It causes a balancing effect on negative emotions in a room. You might notice how much nicer a room feels like when you have a geode or a cluster. We use clusters.
Uh-huh.
A geode is a cluster in a concave. Yes, it's concave, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's rounded. It is a concave cluster.
Like an ashtray.
Like an ashtray, a hollow
yes,
cup
I
or
know.
A bowl.
Uh-huh.
Right?
It looks like an ugly rock until you break it in half.
No rock is truly ugly, dear.
Well,
the crystals are much prettier. And
outside.
It does cause a balancing, healing, energizing change in the room itself. And if you touch your stone and do the triple light invocation in it, what's the difference when people are in a room who come in feeling angry, tired, or upset, or fearful? What takes place? We put a lot of these in psychologists' waiting rooms and in healing rooms for many different healing people.
I'm going to do that from now on.
Thank you very much.
All right, Lois.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And take care of your little crystal. It's a good one. I'm kind of screening everything, and our production coordinator says that she's received 150,689,418 calls for repeating the invocation. Do you want to go over that again?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Please, we'll do it slow once again and repeat it. Write down the light invocation. It's called the light invocation. I invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide. Repeat it for you. I invoke the light of the Christ within. That's sentence number one. Sentence number two is, I am a clear and perfect channel. Sentence number three is, light is my guide. And I recommend when you do the light invocation that you repeat it three times. And you should do this out loud, first of all. Later, you can also do it in your mind without saying anything out loud after you've said it out loud.
All right. I hope everybody got that.
I hope so.
I do, too, because there are a lot of people wanting that, and it's a lot easier for us to do it here than for Terry to be repeating.
Yes, but if you've got to do it, call Heidi O. Enterprises at that number, and we'll be happy to even tell you what the light invocation is if you can get through.
I was just looking at Terry.
I know Dee Dee has just said, I'm going to kill him when I get back. Dee Dee, that's not a nice thing to say, Dee Dee.
She has probably said the light invocation close to as many times at home.
Undoubtedly.
Well, I was just looking at Terry. She's she's really invoked in there after repeating it so many times.
She's glowing. She said it so many times.
All right. You're going to have to tell us about the crystal skull.
The crystal skull that I worked with, the research group, our research group, went to Canada, and the other members of the team were there for almost 3 weeks. I was there for 5 days because that's all I could afford to be away. I had too many other commitments. The Mitchell Hedges Clear Crystal Skull. This was found in 1924 in a Mayan temple archaeological dig by F.A. Mitchell Hedges. Actually, it was found by his daughter, Anna Mitchell Hedges, whose nickname, and everybody knows her, calls her Sammy. Sammy found it. She was only 10 years old, 1924, and it was half buried in a rubble pile. And she pointed it out to her father, in the due course of the archaeological digs in a systematic manner. They were able to uncover this skull. The upper part is two parts. the upper part of the skull, and then the lower hinged jaw. Found the upper part. A month and a half later, they found the lower jaw. And the natives identified that as being a very highly religious artifact of their tribe. He gave it to the tribal members, the tribal elders, who kept it there for the next, I guess, about 5 years. At the end of the time of the 7-year dig, they had such respect for Dr. Mitchell Hedges, they gave him back that skull. Now, that's something, if you can imagine, the greatest religious artifact you have, to give that away. That, in due course, when he died, it was it's owned now by his daughter, Sammy, Anna Mitchell Hedges. And we were able to go and do some research work. Now, our research team is headed by Nick Nocerino, who is the foremost crystal master on the earth today. I'm firmly convinced he knows more than any 10 people of us know. But he's also done work on more than one crystal skull. One particular one he worked on for almost a year, and has 12 4-inch...